The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I'm Dr. Lou Need Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Maris Gebhardt. You see, Maris is the founder of Opulent Mindfulness, and her business offers high-performance corporate mindfulness meditation. That is well needed. That is a different niche. And I'm surprised they let her in the doors in corporations. But we're going to find out what she helps these corporations with. And we're talking about improving focus, driving better results, sharpening cognitive functioning. Yes, corporations need those things as well. So I'm excited to bring her on to hear all about it. So with no further ado, Maris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Lewis. I'm absolutely honored to be present with you here today, and I can't wait for our conversation to unfold.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled and how to increase morale and employee happiness, employee satisfaction. That's going to be quite a convo. But before you jump into it, why that niche? What's your why? How did you get into this?
Right. Good question. So I have worked in software sales the majority of my career, and alongside software sales, I've been teaching yoga for about the same number of years. So about 23 years. So I intimately understand the sales environment, the pressures, the goal-oriented thing, trying to create relationships and sell something. And maybe as the years went by, I evolved in my understanding of how to sell, if you will. Mm-hmm. I worked for a fantastic German company at one point, and they said, the way we sell in Germany is that we don't. We listen. We ask questions, we listen, and then we listen some more. And this is their way of selling. So throughout all those various software sales jobs, I was laid off a number of times. And it's just the nature of that line of work where, you know, I was producing, but then the company had to scale back for whatever reason, or they needed me to relocate or something. So for whatever reason, I was laid off many times. And I began to say, I just need something more consistent. I don't want to have fear about being laid off. Am I not valuable? And so leapfrog a few years ahead, I, in a moment of watching 60 Minutes with Anderson Cooper interviewing a lot of high-tech executives from Silicon Valley on a silent retreat with Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is the founder of mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR, I discovered that was my calling. Not yoga, not selling software, but taking this mindfulness meditation practice into the tech corporate space. And I've since expanded to various verticals, but that was the eureka moment, like, ah, this is what I need to be doing. Yeah. And from that point on, I've just continually been reaching out to people, practicing on my own, and trying to proliferate the work so that people in companies don't feel worried about if they're going to be laid off. They know they're valuable. They have an inherent core belief system in their worth. And so they're more steady, constant, grounded, focused, and believing in themselves. And that makes for a beautiful human being. And of course, then when we have beautiful human beings at work feeling valued, then the companies succeed.
Yeah. And so the companies bring you on to provide this training, so meditation for the client.
Exactly. So I have clients who subscribe to my platform. We have virtual live meditation group sessions every week, and a company will subscribe and avail these sessions to their employees on an unlimited basis to attend whichever sessions they want throughout the week that work for their schedule. So we know that employees who feel cared for care more. Right. And therefore, they're going to be obviously more productive. And this will bleed into their personal lives, of course, with relationships and feeling inspired and important and that they matter. So, yeah.
And so they're doing this while in the office, or they, it's like a part of their morning routine. They're doing it at home because it's virtual. They can sign in from anywhere, I assume.
Yeah, exactly right. So as you're probably well aware, the corporate setting has absolutely shifted in these last couple of years to more of a hybrid model, whereby people are either at home or in the office. And so, yes, this virtual platform makes it such that they can either practice from home or practice in the office. And I can go to the office or I can deliver it virtually, no matter what the client's asking.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, that is a different niche. And I'm so happy to hear that corporations are open to that, especially like the tech and the software industry, because they're so technical, you know, it's like left brain and doesn't really pay much attention to that other aspect that actually brings in that zen or that relaxation that trickles into work performance.
Exactly. And massive global companies, tech and otherwise, have succeeded and brought products to market faster because someone in their meditation practice had an idea. Mm. And in their brains, they get more efficient. They're like, we don't need to go this. We can just go. And so we save time and energy and money. And therefore, and plus we get products to market faster. So that impacts the bottom line because the revenues start coming in.
That's
so
awesome.
I can just go on and on about all the implications. But yeah, and another thing too, as you mentioned, you know, left and right brain and the softer side, softer skills. I initially set out on this mission, and having been in sales, you know, you want to present the ROI on the value of this practice being offered in the company. But over time, speaking with very important, you know, VPs of HR and culture and people ops and these people who are trying to make their employees feel better and be more productive and feel important, they really ended up saying, we offer this to our employees because it's the right thing to do. Yes, it impacts bottom line. Yes, we lower our insurance premium rates. Yes, people are staying longer at the company. Yes, we're attracting top talent because we offer such things. But in the end, we do it because it's the right thing to do. So whichever end of the, you know, spectrum you're on, if you're kind of the dollars side, why does this make sense? Or if you're on the, I'm a caring person and it's just deep in my soul to make people feel good. Either way, it's going to meet the needs of your people and channel through that.
And I imagine there was a great need for it 2020, 2021 during COVID, right? Because everyone was home and a lot of people didn't know how to adjust with spending time alone or spending time at home for so long and being on top of each other. So tell us about that experience, what you saw with your clients.
Yeah. Great question. I appreciate your awareness and understanding the nature of the household changing scene landscape. So yeah, there's an article out about the top 10 problems that businesses face, and meditation and mindfulness answer 9 of those problems. The one that it doesn't answer really is supply chain, but we can even address that one because, you know, when people are waiting and waiting and frustrated and that, you know, they're getting demands on the other side from their clients who need their products because supply chain stoppages and shortages and delays, et cetera. So some of the top 10, I'll just give you some examples, are uncertainty and rapid globalization and growth and equity and inclusion and diversity and burnout, right? And stress and anxiety and depression and an increase in medications that people are taking and inability to sleep. And yeah, I mentioned burnout, but this is, you know, where you're hitting the wall and you're not tapping into this more authentic human being who's on the other side of the work that's being delivered. So when we can wake up those things inside a person, then we start to get the cogs of the wheel moving. So yeah, so the landscape has changed. We are working a lot with making people feel connected and present, not presenteeism. Like I'm showing up, but I'm actually doing something over here. My mind is somewhere else because the narrative, the way our brains are wired, overrides our ability to be present. I have the stressors. I've got these bills to pay.
Yeah.
My mother is sick. My child is suffering with mental illness. I don't know if I'm going to get to have holiday. You know, my house doesn't have air conditioning. Whatever your stressor is, or the pressures of, you know, I'm in a client meeting and who is that good client reference that I wanted to bring up so that they'll, you know, take us on as a project lead. Interference is such a massive problem as a function of stress. Now, we do have good stressors, right? Those are the ones that get us out of bed and out of the way of oncoming traffic or something. But it's the distressors that interfere with the logic And our brains are so hardwired to go to the default looping of negativity for survival, which is good, but not on a constant basis. So we learn to toggle between, okay, this isn't necessary. I got to get out of the way. And this is now a necessary adult in the room. All right, I'm present. Mm-hmm. I'm focused. I'm training my brain to quiet the external noise and the narrative a little bit so that I can not make a mistake here, so that I can hear what you're having to say, so that I can come with new ideas and innovation. So being in that creative flow state is something that we absolutely try to tap into and exercise.
Yeah, being present, because we don't want those stressors to become chronic, because then you have an overproduction of cortisol and you're flight or flight mode at all times.
Yes, you nailed it. And it's that chronic stress that you mentioned is the cortisol, and, you know, results in belly fat. It results in inability to sleep. It results in, you know, appetite changes. The list goes on.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at stress and burnout, because you mentioned that was one of the 10 questions that came up, is burnout. And how can, and how has meditation, what you do, help the groups you work with alleviate burnout?
Yes. So I'm trying to figure out my light here. Sorry, for the distraction. I think the burnout question is going to move into lifestyle practices if you want to have that conversation. So what's really important, because I've experienced it, you know, you hit the wall sometimes. You're going, 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 and you're just like, oh, I've got nothing left in the tank. I'm not coming with any ideas. I'm unmotivated about life. I'm uninspired. I am not grateful for what all the good things that are happening. So that's a sign like, okay, something's got to either crack open or pull back and retreat a little bit. Yeah. So this is where I move into really important lifestyle habits. So things like journaling and waking up and meditating on your own, facing the east, letting those 10,000 lumens from the sunlight enter your eyes, set a glass of water in the windowsill, let that be illuminated with sunlight in the morning, and then drink it. Dry brushing, having just certain daily bookends, you know, you start the day this way, you end the day this way. And then before you know it, all those habits start to meet. And so you have a whole day peppered with positive habits throughout. So noticing the words that we choose, if we're going to, if they'll be uplifting or downgrading. So yeah, the list goes on.
Yeah. So ways to, those are some of the ways to alleviate burnout, is having those lifestyle habits in place so that you show up with stamina and that you have the tenacity or the strength, right, to go on to work 8 to 10 hours a day. Because how else are you going to be able to withstand that?
It's so true. And to wake up the human being inside of you. So to be sure that you are a whole human going to the office or into your work or your endeavors and your projects, and even integrate interacting with your own family and friends. So the whole human must be present. So what's really important about the meditation is it's like a therapy session, because you're dropping into that private, quiet space where anything is acceptable. Whatever's on your heart, whatever in your mind is acceptable to let it surface, talk it out, communicate, be in direct, intimate dialogue with the interiority of your being. And then let it surface and effervesce out in a way to make room for more light to come in and energy to emerge.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing tap into that infinite being that we are.
Yes, you're listening really well. And I love your question.
Tap into that infinite being, because it doesn't come easy to do so. It takes work just like anything else. Just like, showing up for work and learning a new project, learning a new skill, that takes that needs some daily maintenance, per se, daily habits.
Daily maintenance. You're exactly right, because we are so hardwired for the negative spiral loop, because survival is key, right? That's in our brain. Keep us alive, most important. So we have to evolve the executive functioning centers of the prefrontal cortex so we can unwire the default mechanism and loop back into positive adult in the room, uplifting mentalities.
Love that. So let's talk about you. How do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like to incorporate this lifestyle of yours to help the clients?
Get up, dress up, and show up. I love it. Because we shouldn't go if we're not going to be showing up, right? So just don't go until you can really show up. So I wake up and sometimes with an alarm or sometimes naturally, depending upon when I go to bed. And ideally, we are starting the day the night before. So yes. Going to bed by about 10:30 when the earth is starting to quiet down. So definitely tapping into some Ayurvedic principles, the ancient Indian medicine of life, Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. And so waking up naturally more like 6:30, earth is beginning to wake, the sun is coming, your eyes will naturally open, and your energy is being fueled and fed. So this is the positive stress. The cortisol is beginning to elevate in your system. So waking up, bringing life in. And then I go brush my teeth because it's so important to brush the toxins off the tongue, the amma that gets emitted through our skin, through, you know, the surface areas of our bodies. And so the tongue is super important to brush that off every morning. And then I'll take in 2 glasses of room temperature or even warmer water with about a tablespoon or a capful of apple cider vinegar in each of those. And then down those as I'm moving around, getting organized, and I'll quickly put on like a sports bra and roll out my yoga mat and just start. So I'm either doing a pretty emotional release class called The Class with Taryn Toomey. Big fan. It's on a yoga mat. It's not Zumba. It's not yoga. It's not Pilates. It's not therapy, but you're really getting the emotions out of the system. Like a dog that gets startled, you shake it out. Similarly, those emotions land in our nervous system and limbic system. And then can trap us and freeze us and give us pain and discomfort, and it will result in dis-ease, right? Disease.
Yeah.
So I do an exercise and then I sit and meditate with a candle, with my Palo Santo sustainably harvested, and just let this come. I'll then move into rinsing off, showering, finishing with a cold shower so that we are doing what's called hormesis. And this is intentionally inducing stress in our system so that when we need a stress response to save us and help protect us, then that's easily accessible by our systems to tap into that. The body's ready, it's resilient. And then put on some oil on the body, dripping a little bit, water, oil, mixing. And then I will go and groom and then make a little breakfast. So it ends up being not until about 10 o'clock for some breakfast. And this is an intentional intermittent fasting schedule. And while eating the breakfast, I will sit and journal. So journaling, just dear divine, what's ever on my mind, on my heart, and let it be stream of thought, stream of consciousness. And then I really get on the computer and hit the day.
Yeah, that's really, I like that. The cold shower piece is important. I like that you correlate it to the rest of the day. It prepares you for the stressors that's going to come so that you're not jolted, but you are ready to respond. You know, you're proactive. When stress happens, that's what that cold shower does. And I talk about it over and over again, but I like the spin that you put on it. It really helps you throughout the day to be more calm, to be more proactive instead of being reactive.
Exactly. Intentional behaviors, response versus react. Yeah. Because react indicates like 2 actions. You have the action and you have to react. And now you have to recover from the reaction because probably an apology is in order. behavior that we're not pleased with. But I can see your skin is just so radiant and glowing and beautiful. And I can tell that means that you are healthy because skin being the biggest organ of the body is a really clear indicator of well-being. So,
yes. I'm also glowing. I'm baking in here, 7 months old.
No way. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yay. You're exciting. And you beautiful life into the world.
Thank you. But hydration. Yeah. I agree with you. Skin being the biggest body, it tells you how healthy you are internally and how well you're taking care of yourself. Not just with food and substances, but mentally. The calmness.
Exactly.
And I can say the same for you. Your skin is beautiful. You're clear. You're clear-minded. Huh. You're at peace. It exudes. It comes out of you naturally.
Thank you. But we get disappointed, right? We're human beings and we want more. We're discontent. And as we were kind of talking about before we started recording, like I have some like inside of me sometimes. And I just need to dance, scream, get mad, journal it intentionally, like say, what is next here? I don't know, but I know there's something more for me. So yeah, we get into these junctures where we grow and then we're good and okay. And status quo is fine. And then we grow and good and grow. So there's a never ending journey with discovery and how meditation helps us unfold our souls into this lifetime.
It's a journey. And I'm glad you brought that up, because offline we were talking about how your journal morning was. You journal every morning, but this morning was different because you felt like you were screaming at the divinity. You were screaming at your journal. Yeah. So let's talk about that. Like, it's okay. It is all right to expect and want more and desire more when things are not going, when you're anticipating a breakthrough and it's not here. You're like, okay, what's up? So let's talk about that.
Great. Good, good. So every week I like to come with a theme for my guided meditation sessions. And so today it came like what next week's theme is going to be. And that is going to be soulful expectation. So I think that in this line of work, you know, we want to steer away from material wants and discontentedness from an internal, like I'm just craving, and maybe it's chocolate chip cookies or something. Some of those are more ego-based, or maybe I'm bored and those are ego-based, but these soulful cravings or soulful expectations or discontentedness, that's different. That's a sign like I want more for this life. I can give more. I can do more. I can offer more. I can expand my being more. Just wake up, show up. And there's no limit on that. So I was getting mad. And because I also think in the line of meditation, like you're supposed to be peaceful and it's supposed to be steady and constant and still and always happy. And sure, you know, that's the ideal, but we absolutely are humans living in this fleshy body, having a sensorial experience. And so we must listen to those cues and discern, right? The meditation offers that beautiful, mostly not quiet space to discern between, is this a boredom ego calling craving, or is this a soul wake up, tap, tap, hello, are you listening, calling craving? And so we can then follow or discard either way. Yeah. I don't know if I really answered your question, but and then the journal comes out, setting an intention. Like, I don't know what's supposed to happen here, but something, please bring it, please bring it, please bring it. Show me, open me, open me. So no end.
We are what we think about, right? We are what we think about.
Words and so matter.
They do matter. That's why earlier when you said picking the right words, make sure they're uplifting, it comes down to affirmations. Like, are you speaking life or death? Because you have that power in your tongue, right? And so it's important to be mindful of what are your thoughts? Because your thoughts yesterday got you where you are today, and your thoughts today are going to get you to where you need to go tomorrow. So pay very close attention, because you're listening.
You're listening. The universe is listening. Your nervous system is listening. And so it's that pause to say, I'm going to choose this word. And even on my yoga mat this morning, I was like, I feel heavy and tired and kind of mad, maybe you're upset. And I thought, I can just give up and surrender. And I thought, surrender is not the same as giving up. So it's a very different energy, just choosing the words. And I had enough energy to choose a different word, right? It doesn't take that much energy. And that's the beautiful thing about meditation, is it's the non-doing. So this is where we visualize. This is where we say, I want this project. I want this new thing to happen. I want to have enough energy or motivation or to accomplish this thing. And, but yet I feel so drained and tired and defeated, and how is it going to happen? So the meditation is that time to plant the seeds, visualize, trust, restore, and then we harness the proper energy to push us in the right direction. And that's when divine providence takes over and we are infused with the energy to execute, and people come into our lives and resources just present.
It's powerful because it works. A lot of times, all I have to say is I want the best possible outcome for this situation. And then those are sent out, and it's like, okay, those are the options then. And it's beautiful how it always pans out, but you have to send it out. You have to have the intention, because if you don't, you have an alternative. And the alternative is going to be hard, difficult, and challenging and stressful, blah, 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 blah. And guess what? You're creating that.
You're creating that. And it just is a mindset. Either I choose to believe or I choose to take proof of fact, right? And so sometimes it's that level of faith, like I'm just choosing to believe versus all the black and white, oh, this never works for me. It's just really this massive leap of faith, choosing to believe. And that's the mindset. I'm a believer, or I am have to see it to believe it kind of thing. Like just believe, because that is the energy that's going to return.
Well put, well put. Maris, I can talk to you about this all day, but I do want to give you the opportunity to let us know how can we connect with you? Where can we find you?
Right. Thank you so much. And yes, I'm eagerly seeking to work with more and new people and get out there and touch as many people who are struggling in their workplace, their work, or their life's calling, right? How to align with it, find it, get on track, and just boom, go. So you can email me, maris@opulentmindfulness.com, or text me anytime, 503-756-3622. Call, text, email, and we'll just set up a private conversation to see what's on your mind, what's on your heart, and where this vision is you need to get yourself motivated toward.
Excellent. And it's opulentmindfulness.com is where your site is. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us this morning. It's been very delightful.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Liz. You're a luminous soul, and I'm excited for this little baby growing inside you.
Thank you. Awesome.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time. Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.